God is good. He takes care of us. He's always working. Amen. Doing all things that need to be taken care of in the right time, the right way. And it's a matter for us to put our trust in Him. Do you like storytellers? And then what happened? Some people are really good at telling stories. I'm pretty good about messing up a good story. I don't know about the rest of you. Sometimes I get things out of kilter, in the wrong order, and forget the punchline sometimes. But there are some people who are really good at telling stories. Most stories that we read, listen to, or watch on are generally luring us along with various mysteries and questions, and challenging us to wonder what happened next. That's what gets us, it hooks us. Whether it's a simple cartoon, a newspaper article, a TV show, or the latest movie, the newscast, producers go to great lengths trying to hook us, to capture our attention with something that will get us interested before we lose our attention, because our attention span is pretty short. We are looking for something that is more interesting instead of boring. Right? So hopefully I can keep your attention today with this message. Even in the learning of basics education, reading, writing, arithmetic, the teacher has to learn how to get the student's attention, to keep them focused, interested, reading books, learning, letting them know the long-term benefits of what they're being taught. A good teacher captures the interest, the curiosity of their listener, and gets the student to the point of, well, why? What happened next? Some people go through life believing that everything is just happening by chance, and there's nothing you can do about it. Have you run into these people that are kind of lost? They don't have any motivation. They're just floating through life. Everything's luck or chance, or I hope it happens. Maybe I'll do the right thing at the right time. I accidentally did the right thing at the right time. They don't have any real goals. Nor do they make preparations. They don't have any hopes. They just exist day to day in a humdrum life and without purpose. However, the Bible teaches us clearly, and it illustrates over and over again, that there is a purpose for every person and for everything that happens, both good and for bad. Several Bible stories spell out the events and the purpose. And some Bible stories even span not just an hour or a day or a week, but generations. And there's still one story that we're waiting for the final outcome of the story. Aren't we? Yes? You're waiting for somebody to show up one of these days? Yeah. As Christians, how are we to deal with life's challenges, the problems that we run into, bad news. This last week for the May family has been a roller coaster ride of emotions, thinking that Mr. Ed was on his last legs there for a couple days. And then, praise God, some doctors came up with a remedy. When it seems that the world is turning upside down, how are we to cope with all this stress, all this chaos, all this dysfunction? We have touched on a verse already last week, and you've heard it before. Maybe it's one of your favorite verses. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. This is all of our text today. I'll refer to a few others. And we know, it's not we guess or we hope or we think, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God is busy working out His plan, and it is a good plan for those who will trust in God. Remember that Jesus warned us that when we follow Him, He said that we will have trouble. We will have persecution. If you're going to be a Christian, there are going to be people who oppose you because we're in the world that is run by Satan. Scripture calls Satan the prince of this world. And we see the effects of that all around us: death, destruction, bombings, wars, thefts, murders, etc., etc. But Jesus has told us, and He has shown us, that He has overcome the world. Not only has He overcome it, but He gives us a purpose to help us overcome the challenges of the world as well. So today we're going to look at briefly at some of the stories reminding us of how God worked His plan through what appeared to be terrible circumstances beyond any help, beyond any hope. And I hope that it will inspire you to remember that God is working in your life as well. God wants to use you, and He is using you, whether you realize it or not. And we'll look at some of those stories and refer to some different instances. When we go through the storms of life, whether they are bad situations, terrible situations, impossible situations, God is working His plan for good for us if we're walking in the path of Jesus. Before we go any further, let's ask God to guide us in our thinking, our thoughts, and our motivation. Father, we thank You for Your scriptures. We thank You for the illustrations given to us over and over throughout the pages of the Bible, that we see that even in bad circumstances, You are still in control. When it appears that Satan has gotten hold of the power, it's only by Your permission for a limited time. You are the one who controls all things. You are managing all things for Your purpose, even in our lives. You have a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. Your scriptures tell us that You have our names written in the book of life. You have the details about our life written down. You even know how many hairs are on our head. And You care about us more than a sparrow that you continually take care of. So, Father, help us to put our faith and trust in You, to walk in Your plan, and to know that it's all going to be good in Your time, in Your way, in Your will. Guide us now as we reflect upon some of the great stories of the past, of Your work through Your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to hit some of the major stories of Scriptures. You're familiar with them. I hope that it will inspire you to remember God is at work in every situation. We read through the book of Genesis, and very shortly after the opening of the Scripture, we run into the story of Noah. God was with Noah in a world that was depraved. Genesis chapter 6 through 9 tells us this: following the sin of Adam and Eve, every generation progressively grew away from God, further into sin, until Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, tells us this: the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There was only one man, Noah, who was found righteous. Only one. Now, we think it's pretty bad today sometimes when we get the news report, we listen to the news. Remember that the news is always getting the stories that is trying to get your attention. The blood and the guts and the torture and the bad news is always from the perspective of what will get the public attention. There are good things going on in our world today too. Amen? I hope you believe that. God is working a lot of good things. He's using your life. We're not the only ones. There are millions of believers all around the world still at work doing the will of God, and good things are happening. It's not as bad as in the days of Noah. If God says there were only evil intentions always, all the time, in every person's heart, except for Noah, it was bad. It was bad. Well, God prepared to send a worldwide flood to destroy all human corruption, but he planned to spare Noah and Noah, a portion of Noah's family, only 7 members of Noah's family. This one family had to sever their ties with their family, with their friends, and with their neighbors, with their other relatives. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about that, but those wives of those men had families too. Were those families on board? No. They had to do some major separation. They went through some major trauma as they got on and obeyed the will of God. This family had a limited time to complete their work. Verse 3 of Genesis chapter 6 tells us God set a deadline of 120 years to accomplish the tasks. How many of you are ready to go out and build an ark? 450 feet long, 75 feet tall, 3 stories, 45 feet wide, approximately, we're estimating, guesstimating, based on later measurements. And they had to do it all by hand. Hand construction. So this was going to take a while. Not only did they have to build the ark, but they also had to maintain their daily living. They also had to go out and start collecting the food for all the animals that were going to be on the ark. They also had to start collecting the animals. I mean, there was a lot of work to do. And the scripture tells us that God even helped out by sending some of the animals to them. Now, how many of you have a pet elephant sitting in your backyard? Or a zebra? Or a kangaroo? You know, wouldn't it be amazing? Noah's working along there, and all of a sudden, along hops a wallaby. And then a pair of kangaroos shows up. And then along come a couple snakes. And we say, ooh, I don't know about those two. But it's interesting that God helped them. God had to help them in preparing for building the ark, loading the ark with all of the representation. I firmly believe that there were even dinosaurs on the ark. Now, you're going to think I'm a lunatic, but the biblical record says that all of things were created in that first week, along with Adam, that all land animals were created the same day that Adam and Eve were created. That would include what? Dinosaurs. Interesting. That's a whole other line of thought. That's not in my notes, by the way. That was a freebie. Okay. Going on. Noah's family loaded and boarded the ark in 1 week before the flood because God told them, get on board, little children. And they did. And guess what? God sealed the door to protect the family and all the animals on the ark. In obedience to God, they obeyed, and God sealed them in for their safety, for their preservation. And then God opened up the floodgates of heaven and the earth, and a deluge came upon the earth from below and from above, the scriptures say, flooding the earth over a period of how many days? 40 days and nights of constant heavy rains that fully covered the entire earth. Outside of the ark, all of the life, air-breathing creatures were swept away in the waters. They were drowned along with all the vegetation being swept away on the earth, and the surface of the earth was swept clean by the raging waters. Have you seen the after effects of a flood? They really does a number on everything that's around. And if it covered the entire earth, these huge waves would have scoured the earth and resettled everything, reshaping the surface of the earth, depositing all that debris. And I think, this is my opinion, and some Christian scientists as well, that that's why we have all the oil beds and all the coal beds that we have today. God put them there by some powerful event. And the flood answers that question. How did God do that? Noah and his family were saved to restart life on the earth with their families and with all the creatures that were on board, and they were all set loose. Can you imagine the chaos that they had to face? How many people ridiculing them, mocking them, putting up, they had to put up with a lot of guff from people who were mocking. Hey, Noah, when's the big flood coming? And then when it did occur. And then they had to restart, build from nothing, a new society, a new culture, because nothing was left standing. What a story. There's much more there. I encourage you to go back and read Genesis 6 through 9, contemplate, think about it, the results. But God was with Noah and his family. Another story from the Old Testament, also from the book of Genesis, chapter 30 and following. God was with Joseph when it seemed that everything was lost. We have the story of this young boy, a new phase of the descendants of Abraham. And this was a chaotic, dysfunctional family, if you ever saw one. Jacob, the father, had how many wives? 4 wives. And each of them are having children except for one. And finally she has a baby and names him Joseph. But the 10 older half-brothers and the older sister that preceded him, they did not like Joseph, if you remember the story. They hated him, little bratty Joseph. He was a spoiled brat in the bunch. He got the favorite coat, the coat of many colors, and that just irritated the older brothers to no end. And Joseph had a way as a younger brother of, it seemed like he tattletaled on his older brothers a couple of times, and that didn't set well. And so finally, what did they do? Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery and then told their dad, Jacob, what happened to Joseph? He's dead. He's dead. What a lie, feeding this story to their dad when in reality they had sold their brother to slavery. And they said, we'll never see him again, right? That's what they thought. Joseph was taken into Egypt against his will, sold as a slave. Potiphar's wife created a scandal, and Joseph went to prison for something he did not do, all because of her lies and in spite of his purity and his hard work. Everything was going wrong. His family has sold him off. He suffered slavery. He's now putting up with prison life. Did he throw in the towel? Did he quit? No, the scripture says he worked hard, continued to put his faith in God, and he worked hard, and he was elevated in the prison. Along come a couple of the servants of the Pharaoh, the king. They're thrown in jail, and they have dreams. And Joseph can do what? He can interpret dreams. He interprets the dreams, and the dreams come out right. And he said, remember me when you get out, Mr. Butler. And did the butler remember him? Forgot him for 2 years. 2 years went by. And Joseph is still stuck in the prison under false charges before finally Pharaoh has a dream that cannot be interpreted. I remember a guy that knows how to interpret dreams. Yeah, he's in that classy place called the local prison. And Joseph was set free. God was still working his plan in the right time, in the right place, with the right people, and used Joseph to not only save Egypt and to benefit the Pharaoh, but also saved his own family who came to bow at his feet. What a story. God works how many things for good? All things for good for those who love Him. The third story, one of my favorites. David was God's servant, and God worked through David in multiple situations. I wonder how I got my name. I'm not saying that I am like King David, but he is a good example for all of us, isn't he? God worked through David in multiple situations. This shepherd trusted in God from his earliest years, we read in the Scriptures. According to the Scripture, in Acts chapter 13, verse 36, tells us that David served God's purpose during his life on earth. He is an example that continues into the New Testament. What are some of the ways that he served God's purpose? Well, one of the first things we see in his life is that God worked through David to finally defeat the Philistines, to get rid of the headache of the enemy Philistines who were traumatizing the Israelites. And it started when he was just a boy. Out of all the Israelites that could have fought Goliath, who is the only one who was brave enough? David. Just a boy. King Saul and the rest of the army wanted to deal with this situation. And David said, What's wrong? God's on our side. What's wrong with you guys? And he ran out and defeated Goliath. David was selected as a humble shepherd to be the second king of Israel. His rule over the nation was one that was righteous, it was holy, and it was under God's blessing because David constantly went to God seeking God's guidance. And Israel prospered under his leadership. David was led by his personal example in worshiping God. He was a singer. He played music on instruments. He wrote songs. He wrote them down. He collected materials for the temple. He organized the priests in a corporate worship so that they would worship God in a good way. David was concerned about the worship style and life of his people, and he gave them his personal example. And God promised to send a Savior to the world through what family? Through David's family. God promised David that there would always be a descendant of his on the throne forever. And of course, the Messiah is identified as a descendant of what family? David's family. He came, Jesus, fulfilling the promise, fulfilling the prophecy. Jesus Christ now rules as our eternal King. Amen. So God worked through the life of David in many ways, and we just barely touched the surface of the many ways that God used him. A fourth area, God works his will using all people and all situations. I'm just kind of threw some other ideas together here. We barely touched the surface of all the referrals in the Bible, talking about how God uses every situation and every purpose. There are many more examples in the Bible. The life of Daniel, the life of Andrew, the Philip, Gideon, the list goes on and on. Esther, Ruth. And then there was the story of the little boy who packed a lunch, and God used that little boy's lunch to feed a multitude as an example of the power of God through the Messiah. God was glorified through the Pharaoh of Egypt in the day of Moses. Now, you think about that story. God said, I will use Pharaoh. Did Pharaoh believe in God, the God of Israel? No. He defied him to the last step. But God used his power over Pharaoh to show the power of the Almighty. Romans chapter 9, verse 17 quotes Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, reminding us that God used the stubborn Pharaoh for his purposes in spite of the rebellious attitude. The Philippian jailer, was he a believer in God? No. But he was led to Christ because two of the apostles were jailed. Paul and Silas, stuck in jail. They had to suffer abuse from a mob. They were beaten up by the mob, and then they were drug out in the public hearing and mocked and ridiculed in the public hearing. Then they were beaten with rods again, and then they were thrown into jail and put in the stocks and in the bonds. Was that the end of the story? It looked pretty severe, looked pretty bad. No, that's not the end of the story. God broke in the jail, released all their shackles, and as a result, the jailer, Philippian jailer, became a believer in Jesus Christ. Not only do we have that, but we also have the book of Philippians as a result. God used a runaway slave to teach love and grace in Christ. Paul's work with Onesimus and Philemon led to more mission work. Christ Jesus is the ultimate example of God working through man. Of course, Jesus was God in human flesh, but everything that Jesus did was by the power and the will of God in the right time, in the right way. But you say, well, those are all experiences and examples from the past. What chapters is God writing today? What is happening in our world that shows that God is still working in people's lives through all situations? I have a couple illustrations. This is from many years ago. How did Billy Graham become a Christian? You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Billy Graham. He's dead and gone now. Powerful preacher, evangelist. How did he become a Christian? Well, somebody did a little research. There was a Sunday school teacher, Mr. Kimball, in the year 1858. He led a Boston shoe clerk to give his life to Christ. The shoe clerk, named Dwight L. Moody, became an evangelist. And he went to England. And in 1879, he awakened an evangelistic zeal in the heart of a man named Frederick B. Meyer, who was a pastor of a small church. F.B. Meyer was preaching on a U.S. college campus, and he brought Christ to a student named J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman engaged in a YMCA work and employed a former baseball player, a guy named Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday, he went out and did some evangelistic work, and he held a revival in a town called Charlotte, North Carolina. A group of local men were so enthusiastic about what they heard from Billy Sunday that they decided to have another revival service, another campaign, and they brought a guy in named Mordecai Ham to preach. In the revival that Mordecai Ham led, a young man named Billy Graham heard the gospel and gave his life to Jesus Christ, and the story goes on. How many thousands of people did Billy Graham touch with the gospel? We've heard many tragic stories in our nation the last few years, several years, 30 shootings in schools. One of them from over 25 years ago, one of the Christian church preachers, one of the preachers from our brotherhood, named Russ Colzer ministered in Paducah, Kentucky. In that town, if you remember, those of you who are old enough, one of the first school shootings, there was a group of Christian high school students in the hallway of Heath High School. They were shot during their preschool prayer meeting, just as they were finishing prayer. The news startled the nation that there was a shooting in the schools, if you remember. Mr. Colzer writes an article. It was recorded in Ozark Christian College's Bible newsletter. Ozark Christian Bible College newsletter. Get that right. And he wrote this, quote, "The national news media quickly labeled our community town of terror. This kind of senseless tragedy was devastating to our Bible Belt community. Satan's chest must have puffed with pride from the devastation he wrought. But that day belonged to God, not to Satan. Largely because of the witness of the victims' families, but also because of our community. The news media was forced to change our label from town of terror to town of faith. God's word tells us that in all things, God works for good to those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." The NIV translation. "Let me be a witness to this promise." Stephen Curtis Chapman, a graduate of Heath High School, sang at the joint funeral service. "It was one of the most joy-filled evangelistic services I've ever witnessed. And CNN broadcast it worldwide. Over 100 teenagers have professed a belief in Jesus Christ. Nicole Hadley, one of the girls fatally wounded, donated her organs. As a result, one person receiving one of her organs is alive. Remember the prayer group I mentioned? They still meet, not with just 35 people, but well over 200. God is working through all lives, and He uses all things for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. God's using you. We don't know the end story. He's going to work all things out for what? Good. We have to be faithful. We got to persevere. We may get beat up. We may get shot. We may get left homeless. Bad things may happen to us. But God is working all things for good for those who love Him, for those who are called according to His purpose. Remember that. God loves you, and He's promised you something better. Jesus is coming back and will take all of His servants to dwell with Him forever in new bodies, in a new home. Would you pray with me? Thank You, Father, for the assurances of Your Scriptures that we have nothing to fear, even when it hurts, even when it's a challenge, even when it looks like everything's falling apart. Over and over again throughout the ages, You have worked Your plan. Help us to be bold servants of Yours today, facing the challenges that come before us, knowing that You are using every situation for Your glory. Let us be faithful. Help us to be an encouragement to each other, to know that in spite of bad stuff, You are reigning as Lord and Master. We thank You for hope because of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that if there are any who have not committed their ways to Jesus, they would do so as soon as possible. Use us as Your witness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.